The scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Come after me and be my disciples. I will make you to become fishers of men." This is the word of the Lord.
I'm standing down here today because standing up there, I don't want to say it makes me nervous, because it doesn't. Most of you who know me know I don't usually get nervous. I don't want to say it makes me feel better than you, because it doesn't, because I already know I am. I don't want to say that it's an uncomfortable thing, but I do want to say that sometimes when the Lord speaks to me and he says, you need to speak to somebody else, I feel that that also means I need to speak to myself. So this morning I decided I was not going to stand up there. I am going to stand up here just to make it a little bit easier to see instead of down there. But this message this morning is not one Jesus gave to me to give to you. This message this morning is one God gave to me, excuse me, to give to me, and you just happen to hear it. It started with my Sunday school class, the friendship class, which meets down in the conference room every morning, Sunday morning. We are open to have anybody and everybody come and visit us. That's my plug for the friendship class. We did a study called Gone Fishing by Andy Stanley, who's the minister, one of the ministers at North Point Ministries. It's a huge ministry. And it's got a video and a book. We studied it because we were trying to figure out how do we as Christians feel comfortable and confident talking about Jesus to other people. Sure, within these walls, it's no problem to speak about Jesus. With our friends when we meet from within this congregation, it's no problem talking about Jesus. But out in the real world, which is where we spend the majority of our time, we are uncomfortable. We'll talk about football, we'll talk about work, we'll talk about meals, we'll talk about kids, we'll talk about grandkids. But the minute we think we should be talking about Jesus, something inside us says, whoa, I don't want to get involved in that. But see, from the scripture that was just read, it said, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." It did not say, "Come follow me and you'll become wealthy." Jesus didn't tell his disciples, "Come follow me and you'll be rich or famous or life will be easy or everything will be wonderful or you'll have no more worries in the world the rest of the time." He said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Our sole purpose, as far as I can tell, in being a Christian, yeah, we want to say it's to get to heaven, not to go to hell, that sort of thing. But our sole purpose, as Jesus told the first disciples he chose, was to what? Fish for men. Now, I like fishing. I'm not a fisherman. It's a big old waste of time, as far as I'm concerned. Sit in a boat for hours, stand in cold running water for hours, stand on a beach for hours, stand sitting off a dock for hours and possibly not catch any fish. Ugh, really? But I'm not talking about fishing for fish. Why did you become a Christian? Most of the reasons we all became Christians were selfish. And the big one that I think we all became Christians was, if you were a Christian, you went to heaven. If you weren't a Christian, you went to hell. Sign me up. But we were selfish. We basically became Christians to help us. And I'm not saying that's wrong, because any reason to become a Christian is a good reason. The realization is, once we become a Christian, we need to know what we're really supposed to do. The disciples became Christians not because they knew what they were even doing. They had heard of this guy named Jesus Christ, and they knew he was doing some really wild stuff in the world. And they thought, this is kind of interesting. So he came to them. So it wasn't like he walked up to them, looked at them, and they had never even heard of this man before. They had heard of him. you know, through the grapevine, this guy who was doing, from early childhood, was doing wonderful things. So they probably followed him because, this is pretty interesting, they probably followed him because, hey, I'm kind of curious to see what we could do or what will happen here. And they probably followed him because, in the back of their mind, that little conscious thing said, this is what you should do. But they didn't know they were going to become Christians because they didn't even know what a Christian was at that time. All they knew was, here's this guy who's pretty special. Let's go see what he has to offer. And they followed him. Notice throughout the whole time I've been talking so far, I have not said Jesus chose the disciples, and since we are generations removed from those disciples, but we are still God's disciples, Jesus did not choose the disciples to become evangelists. Because see, when Presbyterians hear that word evangelism, we panic. We don't want to be, you know, it brings back thoughts of evangelists good or evangelists not so good. And it's like, wow, we should, you know, evangelism, that's not us. Now, if you tell Presbyterians there's going to be a soup luncheon or a potluck dinner or a tureen supper, we're all over those things. Those we understand as Presbyterians. But evangelism, not so much. And here's the reason why. The dictionary says evangelism is the zealous preaching and dissemination of the gospel as through missionary work, or the second definition of it is a militant zeal for any cause. We know when someone is zealous about something, how it can turn us off. So we do not want to be evangelists and be zealous about God for fear of turning someone off. Plus, we don't feel we have the right stuff. We're probably not smart enough. We don't have all the answers if someone asks us a question. We don't speak very well. We're shy. We're just not comfortable with that. So from here on in, evangelism is going to be the E word, and we're not going to use it anymore. We're going to use the F word. Fishing. I'm talking about fishing. We're going to use fishing now because that's what it is. That's what Jesus told his disciples to be. Fishermen. If you have kids or grandkids, you're well aware of the fact that when they do something that you see them do, or when you hear about something they have done that's extraordinary, then you are out telling all your friends the story of your children or your grandchildren. And you may tell them that my son is the star of the lacrosse team at some cross-state school, and he scored 3 points or goals or whatever the other day, and he's made it to the finals, and he's an all-star. And someone will say to you, well, what position in lacrosse does your son play? And you say, I have no idea. See, you don't know the answers to all those questions. But you don't mind telling the story anyways. See, we inherently are storytellers. We love to tell what we've seen or what we've heard. And the first disciples Jesus chose did just that. They told people what they saw Jesus do and what they had heard about Jesus doing if they weren't there. They didn't evangelize. They didn't force scriptures down people's throat. They didn't come out with a zealous, overbearing, obnoxious tone of view about follow Jesus or die. All they did was say, here's what we saw this man do. And here's what we heard he did for somebody else. Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's Jesus talking to his disciples. It's the Great Commission. What did he tell them to do? Go out and make disciples of all nations. Go out and tell people about me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Well, not all of us are allowed to baptize, but we're certainly allowed to tell about Jesus Christ, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In other words, what I have told you, that's what you tell them. You don't have to come up with some new thing. I have told you. And then the most important part of the Great Commission, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So thousands of years ago, he was with those original disciples, and thousands of years later, he is with today's disciples. That's you and me. And thousands of years from now, if it goes on this long, he will be with the next ones, because it says so right there in Matthew. We're storytellers. And we love to tell stories about what we're passionate about. What could be better than being passionate about Jesus Christ? See, we make religion and fishing difficult. I know fishermen have, you know, tackle boxes the size of steamer trunks, and they have all these expensive rods and reels, and they have all the right bait for all the right fish, and they go through all the same thing. But I think the first kid that caught a fish had a stick, a string, a piece of wire, and a fishing worm, and he caught a fish. It's not as complicated as we like to make it out. Neither's fishing in the name of Jesus. It's just talking to people, having a conversation, taking advantage of an opportunity put in front of you. Don't cram the Bible down somebody's throat. You wouldn't want that done to you. But talk about what your life experience is. That's all the first disciples did. It's very simple. Show how your faith in Jesus Christ has affected your life, or tell how your faith in Jesus Christ and what you have done has affected somebody else's life. It's really not much more complicated than that. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Key word in that scripture, boldly. The first two definitions of boldness are fearless and daring and courageous. And the second one is requiring or exhibiting courage and bravery. Yes, to speak the name of Jesus Christ in the outside world takes some boldness. But I know most of you. You're pretty bold people. Most of you don't shy away from anything. So why would we shy away from the greatest story we could ever tell? My family used to go to Hilton Head for a week all the time, and the beach is down there, and you'd go down the beach early in the morning, and there'd be a guy standing in the sand, little tackle box, little basket next to him with this thing, throwing it out in the ocean, throwing it back in the ocean, and he'd be there for a while, and we'd be on the beach, and then we'd leave, and we'd come back, and he'd still be there. And we'd be leaving, we'd come back, and he'd still be there. So you walk down to him and you say, how's the fishing today? He said, haven't caught anything. But then they'd almost invariably say, but a day fishing is a good day no matter what you catch. If you love fishing, then it's not about catching the fish, it's about being able to fish. You don't have to be at work. You don't have to be in an office. You don't have to be running around chasing kids. You don't have to be doing anything other than what you love to do, which is fishing. So if Jesus tells us to be a Christian, we need to fish, then we should love fishing. And if you talk to somebody and you fish and you see them on a Thursday and you tell them your story and you don't see them in the congregation on Sunday, That's not a reason to give up or be disappointed. It just means tomorrow is another day to fish. Once we do our part, which is fish for Jesus Christ, then he will do his part. And it may take two or three fishermen to actually catch that fish. But that's okay, so long as we're one of those fishermen in the process. Fishing is something you love whether you catch anything or not. And if you don't catch anything, there's always tomorrow. And any day is a great day if you're fishing in the name of Jesus Christ. So, let's go fishing. Talk to somebody. Don't be rude. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be overbearing. Just talk to somebody. And leave it up to God to do what's left. And move on. And maybe you're the first fisherman, and maybe tomorrow another fisherman. You've planted that seed, so to speak. You've dangled the bait out in front of them, and maybe somebody else has a little bit different bait that snaps that fish up. Don't know. We always don't know the outcome when we fish for Jesus Christ. We don't know whether we made a difference or not. And that's part of the human instinct in us that is tough, because we want to see results. We want to know. But that's not the point of fishing. The point of fishing is to go out and do what you can in the name of Jesus Christ. So, as we leave this morning, when it's time to go, after we've talked, after we've done our thing, when we go out and you go home, get your pole, get your rod, get your reel, get your bait, become bold, and next week, do a little fishing in the name of Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning that we are given the ability to fish in the name of Jesus Christ. But we ask, and you have already told us, that you will make us fishers of men. It is not going to be us by ourselves, for by ourselves we can do nothing. But with you behind us, we know fishing is something we should love to do day in and day out. Amen.